flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Bad Tiki is going to join us in about a half hour. I'm very excited about that. Also, I know that we have 4 months. Is it 4 months? Yeah, like 4 months until the NFL draft. But over the next 4 months, there's going to be a lot of speculation. There's going to be a combine to watch. There's going to be pro days. There's going to be those all-star games. There's going to be all sorts of crap before we finally get to the day where the New York Giants are on the clock. And over the course of the 4 months, we're going to look for hints. We're going to look for, oh, I know what the Titans are going to do. Oh, I know what the Browns are going to do. Well, we were given some hints yesterday, and I want to play them for you so we could all explore it. One of the hints got a lot of attention. You may all be aware of it. But Chad Brinker is his name. He's the president of the Tennessee Titans. Made a comment that got a lot of attention about the Tennessee Titans' plans potentially with the number one pick. And the headline was, Brinker says they won't pass on a generational talent. Mm. I think it's important for us to hear the audio of this. This was not at the press conference to announce Mike Borgonzi as the new general manager. He was actually on a podcast where he made this comment, and it got a lot of attention. So here's the president of the Tennessee Titans making the comment that got a lot of attention yesterday and today.
The one thing I will say, if there's a generational talent, you don't pass that up. Mm-hmm. You can't pass that up. And then if we feel that there's a generational talent right there, a what we call a blue player, a guy that is a franchise-type player, the player that tips the field in your mm-hmm. favor every time they step on the field, like you cannot pass that up.
So a couple of things. Do we all agree that every time someone says generational, we think of Tommy? Like, you've made it yours.
Yeah.
So I give
generational
you credit
talent.
For that. Yeah.
Tommy
generational
Lugauer.
Talent.
He solidified it with the fake Sean this week.
You really did.
Been
wow.
Epic. Epic.
So even though Chad Brinker is not thinking of Tommy Lugauer, I was thinking of Tommy Lugauer.
Is he not?
Who? A generational talent?
We all know Tommy Lugauer is a generational talent.
Thank you, Boomer.
Is he not thinking, unless it's just us, I don't remember people throwing around generational talent like this until Tommy started saying it.
So you're saying that Chad Brinker, the president of the Titans, is literally copying Tommy Lugauer?
I didn't think about that, Sean. You might be right.
I think Chad Brinker is copying somebody else who's copying somebody else who's copying Tommy Lugauer. I think he put it out there so much. I don't know. It's not just the Titans. I feel like I have heard generational talent more than I ever heard in my life the last year, and it only started when Tommy started calling himself.
Maybe it is. Maybe it's you, Tommy. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, look at that. Sean put you over, Tommy.
That's right.
After making fun of you for 4 days.
Have you ever heard of blue player before?
Because he's never heard that before.
All right, so
I'm assuming it's like blue blood, like the best of the best, blue chip.
So when you hear that comment, and there's more to this I'll get to in a minute, but when you hear that comment from the president of the Tennessee Titans, your brain goes where?
Travis Hunter.
That the Tennessee Titans will use the number one overall pick on Travis Hunter.
That's what, when you say generational blue chip type player,
yeah,
I think Travis Hunter.
Okay.
He's the most unique player in a decade, maybe more.
So I kind of feel the same way. I heard Gio say that this morning as well. Mm-hmm. His brain went to Travis Hunter. Do you agree with that, Sean? Like, your brain, when you hear that comment, that's Travis Hunter, or is that something else?
I think it's him and Abdul Carter. I think both of those.
Oh, okay. Mm. Abdul Carter. So not a quarterback, though.
Well, yeah. Yes and no. I think if everybody's using their brain, and Teague, you probably agree, those guys are the best players.
No doubt.
But if you are a guy scouting and you believe Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders is a generational talent, isn't that word just subjective?
So that's what's so funny about this. So like I mentioned, this comment that Chad Brinker made was not at the press conference introducing Mike Borgonzi where Brinker was there. It was actually on a podcast. The guys hosting the podcast, I'm not very familiar with them, their reaction to this was he's talking about Shedeur Sanders.
Really?
Think about it. Yes. So everyone takes this in a different way.
Hmm.
So, but I agree with you, Teague. I agree with what you said, what Gio said, what you said. Travis Hunter is the guy. That's the generational talent. But wait, there's more to the story. So that's what Chad Brinker said. He's right. The president of the Tennessee Titans.
Haven't we seen quarterbacks come out of college in the last 5 years
mm-hmm.
that are better prospects than Shedeur Sanders?
I thought so.
So then how can he be a generational talent?
I don't know. I agree. I'm
that
with
makes
you, bro.
No, that makes zero sense to me.
It's Travis Hunter.
Whatever their interpretation was of what he was saying is whatever. That's their prerogative.
Sure.
There have been quarterbacks, factually, that are better. Joe Burrow is infinitely better.
So you can't be generational when you're not even best prospect of
generational talent.
Joe Burrow had the greatest season in the history of college football.
Right.
Facts, period, end of story.
I'm with you.
And who won the Heisman on that damn team? It wasn't Shedeur Sanders.
It was Travis Hunter.
It was the generational talent. The guy who caught 1,400 yards as a receiver and was the top two or three cornerback in all of college
100%.
Football.
100%.
That is generational talent.
I agree with you.
What are we talking about over
but
there?
But there's, wow. there's an issue. The issue is the Titans just hired a general manager. His name is Mike Borgonzi.
Mm.
Mike Borgonzi, at his press conference, said this.
The quarterback is the most important position, arguably, in sports. So you have to solidify the quarterback position. So we're going to turn over every rock, whether that's free agency draft or, you know, we have quarterbacks on the roster here. We're going to give him every opportunity to play and to compete. But we're going to attack this thing. We're going to be relentless attacking this until we find the answer.
So before, yes, we all want to talk about the accent. Mm-hmm. I promise you we will get to the accent in a second. I hear this from a general manager, and I walked away saying, they're taking a quarterback.
Yeah.
That's how I took it. Now, forget what Brinker said about generational. He basically laid it out there. It's the most important position in football. We are going to move mountains to get a quarterback. And, oh, by the way, they're picking number one. And while I agree that Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward may not be Joe Burrow, well, Joe Burrow's not available.
Mm.
And he's not available in free agency. So I took what Borgonzi said more as, all right, guys, they're not taking Travis Hunter. They're taking a quarterback.
I would agree. And by the way, he's not wrong. You need, and by the way, when you say the quarterback is the most important position, what we're saying is you need one that's good. You don't need a generational talent at quarterback to have a successful organization because look at what the Eagles have done. They've been to a Super Bowl in the last 3 years, and they have a chance to go back to another one this year. So, and Jalen Hurts is not a generational quarterback of talent. He is very damn good, and in big games, he plays great. So I hear what they're saying, but I also know that he's right. Right? You just need a quarterback who's competent.
So there's two things that I find really interesting. Mm. One from a Giant perspective, one actually from a Jet perspective. The Jet perspective is this. For those that think the Jets are dysfunctional, the team president and the general manager are not on the same page. And they spent most of that press conference explaining who makes decisions. And Borgonzi was talking about, well, in Kansas City, it's groupthink, it's, you know, Veach, it's Reed, it's all of us. I have no idea.
Why would it be anything other than that, by the way?
But someone has to make final call, though. It's groupthink, but at the end of the day, The decider's Andy Reid, right? You even said that earlier.
100%.
Who's the decider in Tennessee?
I have no idea. I don't think they know.
I don't know. And that's the point. So this story about generational talent got a lot of attention, and I wanted to play it for you. But the truth is, I learned two things from the Tennessee Titans. A, no one knows who's making decisions there. And two, I hear Borgonzi speak, and I think they're a lock to take a quarterback, not that they're going to take Travis Hunter. And obviously, that has a lot to do with the Giants, because who's available at three, and if a quarterback is available versus both quarterbacks are gone and right. Travis Hunter is available, is going to determine your draft. So after hearing all of this, we report you decide. What are the Tennessee Titans doing?
Generational talent.
Taking a quarterback.
Sean?
I think taking a quarterback.
Tommy?
I've also seen Will Levis play football, so hearing that and watching the Titans, they are drafting a quarterback.
They are drafting a quarterback, and I feel like people heard the generational quote, stop, period, end of discussion, and didn't hear the Borgonzi comment, which is, we are desperate as all hell to get a quarterback. The reality is this. If the New York Giants are getting Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, Shedeur Sanders is going to have a fit. He's going to have to force his way here. I think he will. I think it will happen. But the Titans are taking a quarterback. And trust me, I think the Browns are going to do the exact same thing.
Yeah, the Browns need to, even if just to move perceptually off of Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
I mean, they
agreed.
They restructured his deal. We know what that means. It just makes it easier to get rid of him in a couple of years.
Absolutely.
And by drafting a quarterback, you tell Deshaun Watson, we are done with you.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
And that's what they should be, done with him.
So there's two options here. If this is going to happen, and I really do, based on these comments and just using our brains, either Shedeur Sanders is going to force his way to the New York Giants, mm-hmm. or you guys at three are not taking a quarterback. And by the way, that's okay. You mentioned Abdul Carter. Obviously, Travis Hunter. Like, I know you still have to answer the quarterback question, but you also don't want to do something stupid.
Yeah, I also, there's another takeaway out of there.
Go ahead.
There's no way that the Titans now could turn to their fan base and trade that pick if you have two different answers.
Like no, they're not trading the pick. I agree with you.
No way. Yeah. So I think that's off the board. You wonder, would Cleveland trade? I don't know. But either way, I'm with you. If those two guys go off the board, the Giants can't panic. They got to take the generational talent then at that point.
The Titans are in a great spot because if they get word that Shedeur Sanders doesn't want to play there, cool, just draft Cam Ward. Yeah. Or they prefer Cam Ward and they take Cam Ward.
Right.
It's the Browns who could be in a very tricky spot where they could have the standoff with Shedeur.
I'm telling you, I still look at, I think March is going to be very important. I think Kirk Cousins with Kevin Stefanski, nice little reunion, is very much on board here.
Hmm. So what do you mean? That the Browns aren't taking a quarterback? They're going to sign Kirk Cousins?
I don't think it's a lock. The Browns are taking a quarterback.
Wouldn't you still draft a quarterback even with Cousins like the Falcons just did?
They could. They could.
Kirk Cousins, I mean, he has a big deal, right, still? His deal was big. And so he doesn't need necessarily to take a ton of money.
Bingo.
So Sean might be right.
And you know what?
It'll fit easier cap-wise.
And what have we talked about, Tiki? You and I have argued at nauseam about this, about believing in these two quarterbacks at the top of the draft. And Kevin Stefanski, I think we all agree, is not a stupid man. He's a smart football coach. We all just say, okay, Giants, take Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter and then get the quarterback at the top of the second round, right?
Yeah.
Go that route.
Right.
What's to stop Cleveland from doing that and signing Kirk Cousins?
That's true.
Nothing. And by the way, Stefanski's, I think I read this today, he's taking back over play calling duty.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and he became a head coach by calling plays for Kirk Cousins.
Right. I am very curious. Yeah. I apologize. You know, we've all talked about how we think this will play out at number three. We've never gotten the opinion, though, of Fake Sean. Fake Sean, what do you think ends up happening with the Giants at number three?
Joe Shane, the greatest general manager in the history of New York sports. They understand that they need to draft a quarterback. And I bring you back to last year on Hard Knocks. Brian Daboll was able to identify Jaden Daniels. So even though Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward won't be there, I don't know all the rhymes here, but they could get Jackson Dart. They could get Jalen Milrow. They could get Quinn Ewers. The Giants are going to get a quarterback. And as the Eagles find out here, you can't win a Super Bowl with a running back. We'll all know the Giants will win a Super Bowl with their new starting quarterback.
Which is true. They could draft a quarterback at three, even though Ward and Shedeur are gone.
How did you just transition out of that? How and why are you good at that?
Dude, Sean, you didn't. Did you listen yesterday?
Barely, dude.
I know you were under the weather.
Yeah.
But the Cinco de Fivo
yeah.
was unbelievable.
Oh, I did get
absolutely
the Cinco.
Yeah. unbelievable.
Yeah, Tommy interacted with Fake Sean. And I got to tell you, I know this radio show has a lot of characters. I think Fake Sean's here to stay.
So as
I got to be honest with you.
I could answer that easily.
The Rangers are, they got another point last night. Aaron Shishkirkin.
As the only child on the show, when you're an only child, you talk to yourself a lot. So I've had conversations with myself since I was a little kid, so I can go in and out of character.
Imaginary friends.
Imaginary friends. You just
see the magic dragon, the Hanali.
So you learn how to talk to yourself.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Tony's in Deer Park. How are you, Tony?
What's up, fellas?
Yo, man.
I'm telling you, I'm a little stuck with this whole draft for the Giants because what if they're not crazy about Shador? I don't think Cam's going to be there. I think Cam's going to go first. But what if Abel and Shane are just not – are they going to take them just because their jobs are on the line and you need that quarterback? Or do you just take – do you take the generational talent in Hunter and maybe get a quarterback?
Yeah, but Tony, unless Shador is forcing his way to you, the decision's going to be made for you. Because if both quarterbacks are gone – Travis Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
If Travis Hunter's gone, then yes, I agree with you. I would be stunned. Like, I'll walk you through this mini trav board. I'd be stunned if a quarterback named Cam Ward, Shador Sanders drop past the Giants. Like, for example, Cleveland decides, you know what? We're taking Travis Hunter after Tennessee takes Cam Ward.
Right.
I don't think the Giants would say, oh, we're going to take Abdul Carter. I think they would absolutely at that point take a quarterback. So I think being at three is kind of odd. Like, the decision in a way will be made for them,
mm-hmm.
whether it's quarterback versus Travis Hunter.
No, I think you're right about it. And it's a good position to be in, to be honest with you, because it takes it out of your hands.
Yeah, it puts it on somebody else.
It puts it on somebody else, and there are other quarterbacks in this draft that you can get maybe later. You might have to move back into the first round to do so, but the Giants are in position to actually do that. But you can go get a guy who is a good NFL quality player, maybe not a superstar all pro, but someone who you can win with. You can get that in the second round.
Sure. Earlier today, Sean Morash called this guy out individually, so it's only fair he gets a chance to respond. That's Ozzie and Woodridge.
Ozzie.
Who took he took shrapnel from Sean Morash upon his return. How are you, Ozzie?
I'm well. I'm simpatico with Sean, and I'm not doing that in an attempt to disarm him, but I agree. The definition of insanity is repeating the same behavior over and over and expecting a different result. Another spineless tomato can that he can control like a puppet.
Yeah.
Period. Stop.
No, you're right. That's basically what Jerry Jones is doing with the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm.
He won because Deion would have been the guy.
Who do you want, Ozzy?
Who do I want?
Yeah, who would you want as your head coach? Because Evan brought up bringing back Mike McCarthy. Because, I mean, they could, in theory, do that. But who do you want?
Very good question, Tiki. Jerry Jones, first off and foremost, he's the Joe Biden of NFL owners. The guy has lost his marbles. He's totally gone.
Okay.
But what I want, because of that, I want his son to start taking over the reins. His son, who made smart decisions like drafting Zach Martin and really
mm-hmm.
probably has a better grasp on what wins in the NFL. What I need as a Cowboy organization, I need, and we've been repeating it over and over, a leader of men, a hard blank, who's going to hold everyone accountable. And I don't know if Jerry Jones, who needs to be in front of a microphone every day, is going to be willing to do that, to hire a coach who has a spine and is going to hold everyone accountable.
You're right.
Right, because that's going to include holding Jerry accountable.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it would have been, honestly, Oz, it would have been Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn played in Dallas. Aaron Glenn had a history there. Aaron Glenn would have been a great candidate for that job.
Yes. Speaking of Aaron Glenn, because I'm benevolent, even though I have my own problems, a note and a message to Aaron Glenn. I hope I'm not too late with this, but Aaron Glenn, do not let Joe B. get your cell phone number.
I knew that was coming. I know.
That's solid advice, Ozzy.
Yes, yes.
Solid advice.
Thank you. That's my bad.
Yes.
Evan?
Yes.
I know what you should do with the beard.
Oh, yeah. What should I do with the beard hairs? Because I haven't done anything with it yet, and Pete is still unsigned, so maybe my beard hairs can bring some magic. What's your idea?
Dirty Dancing, What Baby Wants, Baby Gets. Juan Soto is baby. By a miracle and a coincidence of God, you are going to be in Citi Field this Saturday in January, when nobody is normally in Citi Field in January. Right. You need to take that beard hair. Yeah. You need to find your way into the Juan Soto suite, and you need to spread that beard hair into the suite like pixie dust. We need Juan Soto, baby, to think of Pete Alonso like Patrick Swayze, rest in peace.
All right. Wow, thank you, Ozzy. It's a wonderful idea. Now, one thing that needs to be addressed, because I've got eyes everywhere, okay? Eyes are everywhere. I have been accused.
Yeah.
My beard has been accused. Remember I brought the beard hairs in on Friday?
How could we forget?
As a way to kind of change the mojo with Pete. Of course, that's the beard I shaved. I grew my beard out for a very long time until Pete got an extension. He didn't get an extension. I tried to turn the Mets season around. I shaved the beard. I saved the beard. People are accusing the beard of getting Sean Morash sick.
It's on the table. I was a perfectly healthy, chiseled, fit human being.
That's debatable.
And within 48 to 72 hours of that beard hair follicle floating around my nostrils, I was knocked down off my feet with the flu.
Right. So what take out that perfectly fit, everything else except for human being.
Yeah.
So you were a human being.
Yes.
And then you got in the proximity.
So you really think the beard that you weren't even in the same room for? Tiki was closer to it. He didn't get sick.
And I'm healthier now than I was. Tracy's been sick for 2 weeks, and I'm healthier than anybody.
That's right. The beard actually gave Tiki super health.
I got immunity.
Yeah.
Maybe it's one of those things you were so close you got immune, and I got like the bad follicles from a distance, and that's went through me. Either way, it's definitely on the table to blame.
Let's go to Gabe in Wayne, New Jersey. How you doing today, Gabe?
Hey, guys. Doing well. Thanks so much for taking the call.
No problem. What's up?
I just want to talk about Pete and the potential signing over by the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
I'm a big Yankees fan, so believe me when I say this, I want Vladimir Guerrero Jr. off the Blue Jays first and foremost.
Sure.
But I don't think it's going to happen. And I'm not looking forward to 2026. I'm looking at right now. You know, at the same time that they're engaged with discussions with Pete, and that's advancing, they're also talking to Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I will say that the three players, Guerrero, Alonso, and Santander, have in common, they are Yankee assassins. The Blue Jays are a team that has money to throw. They haven't been able to convince anybody to take it.
Yeah.
So if you're going to convince anybody, look at guys that are able to beat up on the AL East. Because the only way that you're going to be a contender, you got to win your division, or at least you got to be in the top two of your division, and they haven't been that for some time.
That's a good thought, Gabe.
Well, I think there are two ways to, first of all, there's like five ways to look at this. You've got the Mets losing Pete Alonso. Mm-hmm. Sure, we'll spend a lot of time on that. Then you've got, does this change the Blue Jay thought on Vlad? And then you've got, the Yankees are in a division with the Toronto Blue Jays, a division in which the Orioles have not gotten better. I think the Red Sox have gotten better, and the Rays are the Rays. The Blue Jays, by adding Anthony Santander and by adding Pete Alonso, they're keeping Vlad to start the year. Bo Bichette has to have a better year than last year. He was a disaster. They are a very formidable team.
Right. Then they mess around and sign Alex Bregman because nobody wants him. And all of a sudden, that infield is like, uh-oh.
Yeah, and even if they don't sign Alex Bregman.
I know, I'm joking with that mostly, but he's still onside.
Right, but signing Santander and Alonso, two guys who, if you combine their home runs last year, hit like 77 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Blue Jays are getting a lot better. So, yes, they become a threat to the Yankees. But the other thing, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is a free agent next year.
Mm-hmm.
The Blue Jays have no interest in trading him this year. If they're signing Santander, if they're signing Alonso, in which, by the way, they're going to give up draft picks for both players they add, they're trying to win now. They're not thinking about the future. That's why Vlad is a lock to start the year on Toronto. And yeah, if hell breaks loose and they're terrible, sure, they may trade players away. But there are better odds the Mets will be terrible than the Blue Jays would be terrible based on the league and division they're in.
Right, and the signing of Pete Alonso, should it happen, and some of these reports it says they're advancing, if those are true, it's a short-term deal.
Right.
It's 3 years. You take a shot this year, if it doesn't work out, you got 2 years of Pete Alonso. Maybe he's part of the early, I don't know, whatever becomes a rebuild or whatever the heck you want to call it, but there's no real risk. because the deal is not exorbitant.
Yeah, the only risk.
Year wise or number wise.
The only risk, and I know most people laugh at this and they roll their eyes, but it's true because the Mets won't do this very often, is they're giving up draft picks because both guys were offered the qualifying offer. So in giving up a pick for Santander and giving up a pick for Alonso and the international bonus pool money, you're giving up more than just a short-term contract.
Have they had a lot of luck or fortune with their draft picks?
I'd have to do a deep dive on the Von White podcast.
None of them off of
Kelly Gruber.
None of them off the top of your head. So the answer is no.
Right.
If you don't know off the top of the head, it's not like the Orioles.
Well, they drafted Vlad, so that was good.
But that was 7 years ago.
That was a long time ago. Right.
But think about it. I mean, you know the Orioles have had a great farm system.
No, I get it. And look, the Blue Jays are trying to win. They're not prioritizing draft picks after the third round when they tried to add to their team. But we'll see. As of right now, Pete has not signed with the Blue Jays. They have been a team linked to him. There is still a linkage to him. There's thoughts right now, according to Andy Martino. Things are getting hotter between Pete and the Blue Jays, and we shall see.
By the way, I just found out the question I ask about Vlad, what's he get paid? It's not what he gets paid, U.S. dollar or Canadian dollar. It's that the tax rate in Canada is 53.5%.
53.5%.
53.5%.
So let's
37 federally, obviously, in the United States.
Okay.
Depending on which state you play in, it's either Florida, it's none. New York, it's 9, whatever. So
let's do the math on this.
Even if you're in New York, it's less than what it is in Canada.
And I'll ask my dad to do it as a CPA. How much more would the Blue Jays have to offer Pete Alonso to even match the Mets' offer or to significantly beat the Mets' offer, considering the tax situation?
I bet it's about that $5 million.
Well, then I'm telling you right now, if Alonso ends up accepting basically the same offer from the Blue Jays, he's going to get a lot of "this is on you" from Mets fans.
Right.
That's the reality. For a few days, we didn't hear from Mark Andrews, who, of course, had the big drop in the Raven game. He has broken his silence. We will hear from Mark Andrews coming up in a few minutes. Of course, your calls at 888-808-1019. Bad Tiki is brought to you by Security Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com and come get some. I do remind you, Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being, not affiliated with or representative of The Real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFAN Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. Bad Tiki, welcome back. What ridiculousness do you have for us today?
Ridiculousness? Oh, no, Evan. Today I'm here to talk about something serious. Cyberbullying. That's right. Your favorite bad boy, Bad Tiki, is here to hold a seminar on the dangers of online cruelty. Bad Tiki doesn't like bullies. Anti-bully. Bad Tiki!
Why do I get the sense that this is going to take a turn? All right, Bad Tiki, let's hear it.
Turn? No, Tiki, this is about spreading awareness. I've been the victim of vicious attacks on social media. Tweets, Reddit posts, Instagram comments. The internet can be a toxic place, and I'm here to shine a light on it. I've gone through some comments and picked some particularly mean ones out. Bad Tiki gonna change the culture of online bullying like Sean changes plates at the buffet. That means it's a lot. Many more than an average person should.
All right, Bad Tiki. What?
Shut up, Sean. I want fake Sean to talk now.
What kind of tweets are we talking about here, Bad Tiki?
Glad you asked, fake Sean. Let me start with this gem from X. At Mets and Jets 44 says, "The Bad Tiki segment on Evan and Tiki is almost as unbearable as the warm-up show with Al and Jerry. I hate those guys. They are so dumb and definitely don't have any friends." That one really hurt, guys. I try to be entertaining for our audience during this endless bore fest for only 5 minutes once a week. Very hurtful to say to Bad Tiki.
Wait. Did you just use a tweet that also insulted another show to make your point and then insult us the exact way you were insulted by the insulting listener?
Evan, focus. This isn't about them or you. It's about me. Here's another one. At Bronx Baller 69 says, "Bad Tiki is just like BT and Sal. Loud, pointless, and an insult to radio." Brutal, right? But it doesn't stop there. On Reddit, Hot Stuff NY88 posted, "Bad Tiki's segment is so bad, it makes me appreciate Chris McConnagal, and I hate everything about McConnagal, especially his awful singing voice. How am I supposed to process that level of cruelty? These are very hurtful comments to make about Bad Tiki. Cruelty online makes Bad Tiki a sad Tiki."
Are we sure this is really about cyberbullying prevention, and you're not just upset that you're getting bad feedback from listeners?
OG Tiki, my man, it's not feedback. These trolls are just out to hurt my feelings. For instance, this Facebook comment, "Bad Tiki sucks. I never listen. I turn W fan off once I hear Evan Roberts and his stupid voice. You know, he's really changed since the Joe and Evan days. I used to like that show. I think Carton ruined him and made him suck." That was from someone named at C. Lepresti W. Fan. That one really stinks. "You don't even listen to my segment. And let's not forget this YouTube comment. Bad Tiki's segment is so unfunny, I'd rather sit in silence rather than listen to it. That's also what I do when Boomer and Geo are on. Those guys really are jerks. They should replace Boomer with someone cool and interesting, like Matt Ryan. He is really great, and all Geo talks about is golf. We don't care about golf. I bet that guy has a super small peen." That one was from at LoveSlug23. "These insults don't only affect me. How am I supposed to explain this to my over 80,000 other Tikis? It's about changing the culture, guys."
Bad Tiki, I'm starting to think this seminar is just about you trying to defend yourself from people online.
"Not true, Sean. I care deeply about this issue, which is why for a small fee of $499.99, you can join my anti-cyberbullying Bad Tiki boot camp. It's a 5-part online course where I teach people how to combat trolls and turn their haters into fuel for greatness. And for $599.99, I will disclose the personal information of your online cyber bully. Why get over it when you can get even? Bad Tiki will slap that mustache off your face. Leslie Grog in Marlboro, New Jersey. Keep testing Bad Tiki. Can't wait to see what you comment after I break both of your arms."
Wow. Let's cut to the chase, man. This is not about cyberbullying prevention. You're just upset people don't like your segment online.
"How dare you, Classic Tiki? I am a beacon of hope in the darkness of online cruelty. My mission is pure. My goal is to create a kinder and more respectful online dialogue." Listen to this comment from Benny Z. "Bad Tiki knows less about baseball than the real Tiki Barber, who knows nothing at all about baseball. Why would someone write this in the comments of a dog bed review on Amazon? Bad Tiki doesn't like this one bit."
Okay, Bad Tiki, we all get online hate, some more than others, but that's just a part of what we do. People have every right to say whatever the heck they want. You just have to be the very best version of yourself and be above it. It's all.
"Great story, Cinnamon Bush. But I'm trying to explain the dangers of cyberbullying to my audience. For instance, this comment stood out to me on X. WFAN is a sports station. Stop with all the AI bits. They don't work. What happened to the days of Emus in the Morning, Mike and the Mad Dog, the Sweater and the Schmooze? And it's sad to see what this once great station has become. Nothing but hot takes and guy talk. No real sports analysis or real sports talk. I wish Jody McDonald was still alive." That was from at J. Minko WFAN. I did some research, guys. "Critics and complainers have been a part of WFAN's DNA since day one. And guess what? That's exactly why it's thrived for over 30 years. From Mike and the Mad Dog to Boomer and Geo, the negativity fuels the passion, the debates, and the legacy. This is New York. People demand greatness even while tearing it down. And mark my words, the same people trashing today's sports talk will one day say, I remember how great it was before today. So keep the comments coming, because WFAN isn't just surviving the criticism. It's thriving on it. Love it. Hate it. But you'll never forget it."
Wow.
That is very, very thoughtful. I don't really know what to say to that.
"It's the truth, Original Tiki. The critics will always be there as long as WFAN exists. But with that said, Bad Tiki is way better than WFAN. I shouldn't have so many negative comments. Love me. I am Bad Tiki. Bad Tiki demands the love of the people. Just listen to this one last comment. It's a nice one. Evan stinks. I don't like him very much. I only like when Bad Tiki comes over and holds me in his warm, muscular arms. He is so tall and so brave. Evan sucks. I prefer tall, brave Bad Tiki with the warmth of an Adonis."
What?
"That one was a text message from Mrs. Roberts."
Oh, shut up.
"Mrs. Roberts. Okay, guys, I have to be going now. I'm heading down to the Gulf of America, formerly known as the Gulf of Mexico. I've obtained the documents to have it legally renamed to the Gulf of Bad Tiki. Viva la Bad Tiki. Stop sending me mean comments or I will find you. Bad Tiki will hunt you all until the comments are all gone. Bad Tiki, out!
All right. Thank you, Bad Tiki. Bad Tiki, of course, is a sentient AI-generated being not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki, WFAN, Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. You know who did not face heat in that Bad Tiki?
Who?
Tommy Lugauer.
Oh.
That was the first time. He came away clean. I think it's the fake Sean.
Yeah, it's a generational talent.
Look. Yes. Clearly.
The haters have turned on me being that they like me now.
That's right.
That's right.
Generational talent.
Did you have an issue with Mark Andrews not speaking to the media?
Not really. I get it. Like he's upset himself. He probably doesn't want to convey that emotion right after the game. It would have been great theater for us as observers, but I didn't mind it. It's the last game of the season for them this year. It didn't matter. You knew eventually he was going to have a chance to comment on it, and subsequently he has.
Did that piss you off, Sean?
I live with it after the game because sometimes we put microphones in these guys' faces way too quickly. Mm-hmm. You don't give them enough time. Like, and I put the human element. The next day, when the reporters are there and they're kind of doing the baggy clean out, the 52 other guys are there answering questions. I think you gotta be there and answer the bell. We've given you a night to kind of think about it. Give me something.
Agree with that, Sean.
Yeah, that's where I lean, because one thing that's so weird about sports, and you experience this, is something we've never experienced, is you have a bad day. Okay, you just have a bad day. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
And within like 5 minutes of the bad day,
right,
there's a microphone in front of you saying, can you please explain further on why you suck?
Right, right. It's like you're questioning your meaning
yes.
of being there. And it gets hard, and they get, you know, like it's probing. That's the challenge. It's not just give me an answer. I'm going to ask a question. You're going to give me an answer, and then we're going to move on. It gets very probing.
Which is why I like understand. Like I've thought about this for a while. Like with coaches and managers, there's a responsibility. Mm-hmm. After the game, you didn't play it. You were coaching it. You were managing it. Answer the questions. The players probably should get 24 hours because you're also going to get a better answer. Instead of the emotional, hey, why did you fumble right there?
Right, but they do have the cooling down period. I forget what it is.
How long is that, though?
I don't remember. It felt like it was quick,
right.
But I knew I would never talk to the media until after I had gotten treatment, whatever I needed to get treatment on, taken a shower, and gotten dressed. So it was a while for me before I would talk to the media. But some guys just wanted to get the hell out of there.
No, I get that, too. So Mark Andrews did not speak to the media after his drop, of course, at the end of the Ravens-Bills game. He did not speak to the media on Baggy Day, like Sean pointed out. Mm-hmm. Today is Thursday. So it has been Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 4 days since. He has gone to Instagram to release a statement. So here's what Mark Andrews had to say after his two-point conversion drop. And it wasn't just that, obviously. He had a fumble in this game.
Yeah.
He had another drop in this game. He contributed greatly to the Raven loss. It wasn't just simply the two-point conversion drop. Mark Andrews writes, "It's impossible to adequately express how I feel. I'm absolutely gutted by what happened on Sunday. I'm devastated for my teammates, my coaches, and Ravens fans. I pour every ounce of being into playing at the highest level possible because I love my team and the game of football like nothing else. That is why it has taken me until now to collect my thoughts and address this publicly. Even though the shock and disappointment are unlike anything I've felt before, I refuse to let this situation define me. I promise that this adversity will only make me stronger and fuel us as we move forward. I thank everybody who has shown me and our team genuine support these past several days. Despite the negativity, I've seen heartfelt love and encouragement, including those who have generously donated to the Breakthrough T1D organization. Even when the moment seems darkest, perspective can reveal that there's still a lot of light in this world. I'm now going to do my part to bounce back and contribute to it. Hashtag God bless."
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's not much you can say to that other than,
why did you do it 3 days ago?
Yeah, that's the only thing you could say.
That's the only response. I think, by the way, what he meant when he talked about the charity donations is that Bill fans were donating a lot to his charity. Did you hear about that?
I think the day after it was like $18,000.
That's very nice.
Pretty quickly.
That's very, very nice of them.
But they, I mean, they have a propensity to do that.
They've didn't they do that for, like, Andy Dalton?
Right.
When they broke the playoff streak. I'm just, Andrew should have just released a two-sentence statement that said, I don't know, ask my coach why we signed Derrick Henry to not give the ball on the two-yard line with the season on the line.
Oh, that would go well, by the way. Your point, though, I kind of agree with. I was thinking about this on both two-point conversions.
Right.
I want Lamar making a play with his legs, or I have Derrick Henry. Like,
right.
I don't think you're necessarily wrong about that. They also probably shouldn't have gone for two as early as they did because it was late third quarter. They were down by eight. Kick the extra point and play the long game.
Yeah.
And that was the mistake I think John Harbaugh made that we talked about a little bit Monday, but I think that's what really kind of screwed him a little
bit. Right, it did, because they were trying to get within a touchdown early instead of... But I get why you do that, because if you miss it, you still got to go for two anyways. So you just do it later, and you set yourself up to potentially win the game. I think that's why you ultimately go for two early in games. I don't necessarily love that. I take the points that are there in front of you right now and then worry about winning the game when it's time to win the game instead of thinking a quarter ahead. This is going to set us up to win the game at some point if we catch back up and get within, a touchdown and an extra point of winning.
Yeah, I'm trying to, like, my thought was I'm trying to extend the game. So if I kick an extra point, I'm down by one. I know that even if I allow a touchdown at Josh Allen, they're probably also kicking an extra point, and I'm back to square one. I'm down by eight.
Right.
And as opposed to making it a two-possession game.
And if they kick a field goal, which they ultimately did, you have a chance to win.
Right. Well, and if they kick a field goal, I'm down by four. And so you do this 7-4-3 number, do a little math game, you keep yourself in a better position.
Agreed.
Did that make any sense?
Yeah, it did. Oh. I know what you're saying.
Thank you.
Even if it was confusing.
That's right. It was a little confusing, but it makes sense. But either way, Mark Andrews has spoken. He has expressed how he feels. And now we can all move on in life. And the Ravens can move on to, playing golf and thinking about next year.
Right.
Because it is all about the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs for the AFC Championship game. And I have to admit this. We will make our picks tomorrow at about 5:30. I'm on a streak. I don't know if you know about this streak. I don't know if you've paid attention to this streak. I have picked the Kansas City Chiefs in every playoff game with the spread going all the way back to 2021. Mm. I'm on an insane streak. Going back to the show I did with Craig, to the picks we've made here, I always pick the Kansas City Chiefs. I am here to tell you, on Thursday at 4:49 p.m., I'm undecided. Mm. I am on the fence.
But that still tells me that you're going to pick the Chiefs with the money.
You think so?
Of course.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, why change? Why amend what's worked for you?
Because there feels like there's something different.
Hey, they always feel vulnerable.
Okay.
Yet they always find ways to win.
I understand.
Cover.
Yes. Last week they did. I'm just telling you.
Each of the last 6-7 times you've done it?
Are you trying to convince me to just pick the Kansas City
Chiefs? I'm just asking you why you would go against what you've always done.
There's a few reasons.
Because at some point it's got to end.
At some point it's got to end. No, I mean, I'll start right there. At some point it's got to end.
Right, you said that about the New England Patriots. It didn't happen until Tom Brady left.
But it ended. No, remember they lost in the wild card round. It did end. They left like losers.
No. I mean for you as
the Jets. Oh, yeah, that's right. At some point it ends. And here's the other thing, and I've said this a lot before. Sometimes when you've never seen something, you get reminded right as you think you're about to see it why you've never seen it before, because it's so freaking difficult. No team in the history of the NFL has won back-to-back Super Bowls and then gone to another one with a chance at a three-peat. The furthest we have seen is this moment that the Chiefs are at, the championship game. We saw it from Dallas back in 1994. We saw it from the Niners. Giant fans certainly remember this from 1990. It doesn't happen.
Right, it's hard.
It's hard. It's hard. And I think right now it feels easy and it feels like, they're just going to do it. And there's a part of me that's going to remind myself there's a reason why no one's done it. Mm. It's very, very difficult. So I'm undecided.
The Packers did do it before the Super Bowl
era. Doesn't count. Doesn't count.
Yeah, I mean, think about the football back then, Connor.
It does
still count. Three straight championships.
It does not count.
Yeah,
I get what you're saying, but it's not the Super Bowl era. I'm talking about the Super Bowl era.
They were championships, not Super Bowls.
Yes.
Evan.
What?
Just remember, it's your famous line.
What's my famous line?
And it was paramount last weekend with Detroit, and it's going to be paramount with Buffalo this weekend. Losers lose.
Losers lose.
So who are we talking about?
The Bills. They always lose in this spot. Hmm? Losers lose.
They are the only team to have beaten the Chiefs, basically, all things equal.
Which is why
the Denver Broncos we don't
somehow.
Count. But
yeah.
Losers lose.
Like a loser!
That is something I have said before. Losers lose.
I'm stunned you didn't do that earlier in the week with the Lions.
By the way.
That's right up the Evan playbook.
Well, no, but they lose, but not necessarily there. Like, I was going to get there with them.
He couldn't bring it out again because he did it last year with in the championship
no,
game.
No, no, I wouldn't. Right. I would have done it in the championship game. I thought as big a losers as they are, they were going to go one step further before they lost. You know what I mean? Your point about the Buffalo Bills, let me just say this about that, losers lose. You're right, and that's why I'll make a further prediction for you. If the Buffalo Bills defeat the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday and they go to the Super Bowl for the first time since their incredible era of the early 90s, you could write this down, you could lock it up, you could put it away. They're not winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, go Chiefs.
They are not winning. I'm telling you right now, I can see it happening. They finally exercise the demons. They beat the great Pat Mahomes. They beat the Chiefs. They're in the Super Bowl for the first time since 1993. That's right. The second Super Bowl against Dallas. They will then get to the Super Bowl and lose because, Sean, to quote a wise man, me... Losers lose. You're just not sure when. Keep that in mind.
Bills are winning this game.
Okay. And then they're going to lose the
Super Bowl. Because your inkling is to pick the Bills. You've been great for the last couple of years. And no offense, Sean and Tiki's picks haven't been good, and they're picking the Chiefs.
Well, first of all, I haven't picked the Bills yet. I'm just telling you, I'm undecided going into Friday. And that's weird for me because I'm automatic on Kansas City. I've been automatic on Kansas City forever. So there is still a chance I'm going to pick the Chiefs tomorrow. You'll have to tune in at 5:35 to find out. I'm just telling you, I am much more conflicted this year than I've been in years
past. But even your confliction... makes me think Bills.
Really?
Yeah, because why wouldn't this be a slam dunk?
Something's
losers
different.
Lose. That's my point.
Something's different.
I think you're going to end up picking the Bills, and the Bills are going to win now.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sean, I don't know if you know this. I told Tiki yesterday. I made a bet before the playoffs. I money-lined the Bills to win the AFC and the Eagles to win the NFC. A $50 bet to win $800. They're offering me a buyout right now, and I'm like, I should just ride this bad boy, right?
He's going to ride it at least through the early game.
Yeah.
At least through the early game.
Think about how many Atlanta Braves bets versus the Mets you could place with $800.
Gambling problem.
All right, there's a lot. You're right. Let's go to Rich in Farmingdale. How you doing today, Rich?
Hello. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
I got an awful little Buffalo Baltimore game. On that, everybody's blaming Andrews and
Lamar. Yeah.
Blaming him for all the turnovers and Andrew dropping that 2-point conversion. I mean, nobody said anything about Harbaugh going for that 2-point conversion.
No, we just did. Right. I mean, they lost collectively. I think the reason that Andrews gets a lot of heat is because the lasting image of the game was the drop that would have tied the game.
Yes. Now, so, it didn't mean they were winning the game. It was just to tie the game. You're right. And there was a minute and 30-something seconds left.
I am convinced if Andrews catches the 2-point conversion, the Bills are going to kick a field goal and win the game anyway.
Yeah, because that's a lot of time to come down and go score.
100%.
And the Bills are so good at that.
Yeah, and Tyler Bass had done a really good job in this game. He had made a long field goal earlier. I think it was like a 50-yarder. I got to double-check how long it was. Yeah, 51-yarder that put him up 24-19. So there are a lot of reasons why the Ravens lost. I think Lamar is getting heat that's unfair. I thought Lamar outplayed Josh Allen for the most part.
I mean, the interception early was bad. It was just a terrible throw. There was no one, no Raven there to corral it. But it didn't lead to any points.
Right.
So it was just a wasted possession, but not one that led to points. It was the other turnovers, the sack fumble that followed one of those drops by Mark Andrews, and then the other interception. Those are the ones that killed you.
Let's go to Alexander in Brooklyn. How are you, Alexander?
Well, good evening, Evan and Tiki. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
What's up, man?
And Evan, thank you for reading my email on the podcast last night. That was a nice little surprise.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Yeah, so I know you're going to...
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you can do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll talk about the Pete Alonso situation at length at a later time, but I just wanted to give just two perspectives I've seen that I mostly agree with. That can happen.
Okay.
So firstly, one of the main things I've seen is that a lot of people find it odd or just strange almost that these rumors of Pete and the Blue Jays have intensified or have advanced, as Martino has put it,
right,
2 days before Mets Amazing Day.
Well, what are you implying? And, well, what do you mean?
Well, say if Alonso signs with the Blue Jays.
Like, okay.
It's a done deal. He's going to go to the Blue Jays, and it's announced today, on Friday.
Yep.
Even on Saturday.
Sure.
I mean, that's going to impact a lot of fans, especially if it happens on Saturday during Amazing Day when all the players are there. I mean, they're going to be bombarded with all these questions relating to Alonso. But I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't? And you think the Mets are going to keep him, or you think it's not just not going to happen in the next couple of days?
They're going to wait.
As of right now, at this moment, I think the Mets will re-sign Alonso. Because this situation, like especially today, like how everyone's been talking about the Blue Jays' involvement. It reminds me of that Sunday, December 8th, that Sunday morning and the Sunday afternoon, where almost all Mets fans had this just feeling that Juan Soto was going to go back to the
East. I'll tell you the difference. And I hope you're right. Obviously, I want Pete back. I think the difference is that the Mets were willing to do anything to sign Juan Soto.
And it feels like it's the opposite with Pete Alonso. Not that they don't want him back. Something Beningo has said, Hoff has said. It's not that they don't want him back. It's that they are specific with, we'll take you back for this price.
Yeah.
And I have this sick feeling, and I don't know if it'll come to this, but I have this sick feeling, because this will hurt me if this is the case, that Pete will get his offer from the Blue Jays. Let's say it's 3 years, 80, whatever it is. And the Mets will get a chance to match, and they won't. And they will say, nah, we're good. And I think that's the difference between the chase of Soto and even the chase of Pete Alonso. Yeah. I think the Mets are okay with losing him.
And right now, there hasn't been a counter offer. I know we're hearing that the Blue Jays are offering 78, whatever it was, 78, whatever the number was, to the 68 that the Mets were offering. But that's not. We don't know if that's official.
Right.
We have no idea.
We also don't know what the opt-outs involve, because sometimes the way they finagle these deals is, let's say it's a very similar three-year deal, but if you opt out, you actually get more money or something of that nature. Right. So these contracts, especially with the opt-outs, can be very, very different in terms of the way it's reported.
Like Gerrit Cole's.
Yeah, absolutely. So as far as Amazing Day is concerned, look, I have an idea on how the Mets can make Amazing Day truly, truly amazing. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. But I don't think David Stearns is thinking about Amazing Day, this fan fest that will happen on Saturday, as he's involved in these negotiations.
We do have baseball breaking news here. The Atlanta Braves are signing outfielder Jerickson Profar, a guy that was on both the Yankees and Mets radar.
Yeah, that's
and
a good
the Braves
move.
Obviously in the division.
It's a good move by them to play left field. I think it's very simple with Atlanta. You know, Jared Kelnick's not any good. Ronald Acuna Jr. is hurt, but he'll be on his way back. Michael Harris Jr. is on his way back. Or actually, he is back. He was healthy and played well at the end. Bad Tiki is going to join us in about a half hour. I'm very excited about that. Also, I know that we have 4 months. Is it 4 months? Yeah. Like 4 months until the NFL draft. But over the next 4 months, there's going to be a lot of speculation. There's going to be a combine to watch. There's going to be pro days. There's going to be those all-star games. There's going to be all sorts of crap before we finally get to the day where the New York Giants are on the clock. And over the course of the 4 months, we're going to look for hints. We're going to look for, oh, I know what the Titans are going to do. Oh, I know what the Browns are going to do. Well, we were given some hints yesterday, and I want to play them for you so we could all explore it. One of the hints got a lot of attention. You may all be aware of it. But Chad Brinker is his name. He's the president of the Tennessee Titans. Made a comment that got a lot of attention about the Tennessee Titans' plans, potentially, with the number one pick. And the headline was, Brinker says they won't pass on a generational talent.
Mm.
I think it's important for us to hear the audio of this. This was not at the press conference to announce Mike Borgonzi as the new general manager. He was actually on a podcast where he made this comment, and it got a lot of attention. So here's the president of the Tennessee Titans making the comment that got a lot of attention yesterday and today.
The one thing I will say, if there's a generational talent, you don't pass that up. You can't pass that up. And if we feel that there's a generational talent right there, a what we call a blue player, a guy that is a franchise-type player, the player that tips the field in your favor every time they step on the field, like you cannot pass that up.
So a couple of things. Do we all agree that every time someone says generational, we think of Tommy? Like, you've made it yours, so I give you credit for that.
Generational talent.
Yeah,
Tommy
generational
Lugauer.
Talent.
He solidified it with the fake Sean this week.
You really did.
Been epic. Epic.
So even though Chad Brinker is not thinking of Tommy Lugauer, I was thinking of Tommy Lugauer.
Is he not?
Who, a generational talent?
We all know Tommy Lugauer is a generational talent.
Thank you, Boomer.
Is he not thinking, unless it's just us, I don't remember people throwing around generational talent like this until Tommy started saying it.
So you're saying that Chad Brinker, the president of the Titans, is literally copying Tommy Lugauer?
I didn't think about that, Sean. You might be right.
I think Chad Brinker is copying somebody else who's copying somebody else who's copying Tommy Lugauer. I think he put it out there so much. I don't know. It's not just the Titans. I feel like I have heard generational talent more than I ever heard in my life the last year, and it only started when Tommy started calling himself.
Maybe it is. Maybe it's you, Tommy. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, look at that. Sean putting you over, Tommy.
That's right.
After making fun of you for 4 days.
Have you ever heard of blue player before?
Because he's never heard that before.
All right, so
I'm assuming it's like blue blood, like the best of the best, blue chip.
So when you hear that comment, and there's more to this I'll get to in a minute, but when you hear that comment from the president of the Tennessee Titans, your brain goes where?
Travis Hunter.
That the Tennessee Titans will use the number one overall pick on Travis Hunter.
That's what, when you say generational blue chip type player,
yeah,
I think Travis Hunter.
Okay.
He's the most unique player
in a decade, maybe more.
So I kind of feel the same way. I heard Gio say that this morning as well. Mm-hmm. His brain went to Travis Hunter. Do you agree with that, Sean? Like, your brain, when you hear that comment, that's Travis Hunter, or is that something else?
I think it's him and Abdul Carter. I think both of those.
Oh, okay. Mm. Abdul Carter. So not a quarterback, though.
Well, yeah. Yes and no. I think if everybody's using their brain, and Teague, you probably agree, those guys are the best players.
No doubt.
But if you are a guy scouting and you believe Cam Ward or Shador Sanders is a generational talent, isn't that word just subjective?
So that's what's so funny about this. So like I mentioned, this comment that Chad Brinker made was not at the press conference introducing Mike Borgonzi where Brinker was there. It was actually on a podcast. The guys hosting the podcast, I'm not very familiar with them, their reaction to this was he's talking about Shador Sanders.
Really?
Think about it. Yes. So everyone takes this in a different way.
Hmm.
So, but I agree with you, Teague. I agree with what you said, what Gio said, what you said. Travis Hunter is the guy. That's the generational talent. But wait, there's more to the story. So that's what Chad Brinker said. He's right. The president of the Tennessee Titans.
Haven't we seen quarterbacks come out of college in the last 5 years
mm-hmm.
that are better prospects than Shador Sanders?
I thought so.
So then how can he be a generational talent?
I don't know. I agree. I'm
that
with
makes
you, bro.
No, that makes zero sense to me.
It's Travis Hunter.
Whatever their interpretation was of what he was saying is whatever. That's their prerogative.
Sure.
There have been quarterbacks, factually, that are better. Joe Burrow is infinitely better.
So you can't be generational when you're not even best prospect of the last few years.
Joe Burrow had the greatest season in the history of college football.
Right.
Facts, period, end of story.
I'm with you.
And who won the Heisman on that damn team? It wasn't Shador Sanders.
It was Travis Hunter.
It was the generational talent. The guy who caught 1,400 yards as a receiver and was the top two or three cornerback in all of college
100%.
Football.
100%.
That is generational talent.
I agree with you.
What are we talking about over
but
there?
But there's, wow. there's an issue. The issue is the Titans just hired a general manager. His name is Mike Borgonzi.
Mm.
Mike Borgonzi, at his press conference, said this.
The quarterback is the most important position, arguably, in sports. So you have to solidify the quarterback position. So we're going to turn over every rock, whether that's free agency draft or, you know, we have quarterbacks on the roster here. We're going to give him every opportunity to play and to compete. But we're going to attack this thing. We're going to be relentless attacking this until we find the answer.
So before, yes, we all want to talk about the accent. Mm-hmm. I promise you we will get to the accent in a second. I hear this from a general manager, and I walked away saying, they're taking a quarterback.
Yeah.
That's how I took it. Like, forget what Brinker said about generational. He basically laid it out there. It's the most important position in football. We are going to move mountains to get a quarterback. And, oh, by the way, they're picking number one. And while I agree that Shador Sanders and Cam Ward may not be Joe Burrow, well, Joe Burrow's not available.
Mm.
And he's not available in free agency. So I took what Borgonzi said more as, all right, guys, they're not taking Travis Hunter. They're taking a quarterback.
I would agree. And by the way, he's not wrong. You need, and by the way, when you say the quarterback is the most important position, what we're saying is you need one that's good. You don't need a generational talent at quarterback to have a successful organization because look at what the Eagles have done. They've been to a Super Bowl in the last 3 years, and they have a chance to go back to another one this year. So, and Jalen Hurts is not a generational quarterback of talent. He is very damn good, and in big games, he plays great. So I hear what they're saying, but I also know that he's right. Right? You just need a quarterback who's competent.
So there's two things that I find really interesting. One from a Giant perspective, one actually from a Jet perspective. The Jet perspective is this. For those that think the Jets are dysfunctional, the team president and the general manager are not on the same page. And they spent most of that press conference explaining who makes decisions. And Borgonzi was talking about, well, in Kansas City, it's groupthink, it's, you know, Veach, it's Reed, it's all of us. I have no idea.
Why would it be anything other than that, by the way?
But someone has to make final call, though. It's groupthink, but at the end of the day, the decider's Andy Reid, right? You even said that earlier.
100%.
Who's the decider in Tennessee?
I have no idea. I don't think they know.
I don't know. And that's the point. So this story about generational talent got a lot of attention, and I wanted to play it for you. But the truth is I learned two things from the Tennessee Titans. A, no one knows who's making decisions there. And two,
I hear Borgonzi speak, and I think they're a lock to take a quarterback, not that they're going to take Travis Hunter. And obviously, that has a lot to do with the Giants, because who's available at three, and if a quarterback is available versus both quarterbacks are gone and right. Travis Hunter is available, is going to determine your draft. So after hearing all of this, we report, you decide. What are the Tennessee Titans doing?
Generational talent.
Taking a quarterback.
Sean?
I think taking a quarterback.
Tommy?
I've also seen Will Levis play football, so hearing that and watching the Titans, they are drafting a quarterback.
They are drafting a quarterback, and I feel like people heard the generational quote, stop, period, end of discussion, and didn't hear the Borgonzi comment, which is, we are desperate as all hell to get a quarterback. The reality is this. If the New York Giants are getting Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, Shedeur Sanders is going to have a fit. He's going to have to force his way here. I think he will. I think it will happen. But the Titans are taking a quarterback, and trust me, I think the Browns are going to do the exact same thing.
Yeah, the Browns need to, even if just to move perceptually off of Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
I mean, they
agreed.
They restructured his deal. We know what that means. It just makes it easier to get rid of him in a couple of years.
Absolutely.
And by drafting a quarterback, you tell Deshaun Watson, we are done with you.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
And that's what they should be, done with him.
So there's two options here. If this is going to happen, and I really do, based on these comments and just using our brains, either Shedeur Sanders is going to force his way to the New York Giants, mm-hmm. or you guys at three are not taking a quarterback. And by the way, that's okay. You mentioned Abdul Carter. Obviously, Travis Hunter. Like, I know you still have to answer the quarterback question, but you also don't want to do something stupid.
Yeah, I also, there's another takeaway out of there.
Go ahead.
There's no way that the Titans now could turn to their fan base and trade that pick if you have two different answers.
No, they're not trading the pick. I agree with you.
There's no way. Yeah. So I think that's off the board. You wonder, would Cleveland try? I don't know. But either way, I'm with you. If those two guys go off the board, the Giants can't panic. They got to take the generational talent then at that point.
The Titans are in a great spot because if they get word that Shedeur Sanders doesn't want to play there, cool, just draft Cam Ward. Yeah. Or they prefer Cam Ward and they take Cam Ward.
Right.
It's the Browns who could be in a very tricky spot where they could have the standoff with Shedeur.
I'm telling you, I still look at, I think March is going to be very important. I think Kirk Cousins with Kevin Stefanski, nice little reunion, is very much on board here.
So what do you mean? That the Browns aren't taking a quarterback? They're going to sign Kirk Cousins?
I don't think it's a lock. The Browns are taking a quarterback.
Wouldn't you still draft a quarterback even with Cousins like the Falcons just did?
They could. They could.
Kirk Cousins, I mean, he has a big deal, right, still? His deal was big. And so he doesn't need necessarily to take a ton of money.
Bingo.
So Sean might be right.
Yeah, and
because
you know
it'll fit easier cap wise.
And what have we talked about, Tiki? You and I have argued at nauseam about this, about believing in these two quarterbacks at the top of the draft. And Kevin Stefanski, I think we all agree, is not a stupid man. He's a smart football coach. We all just say, okay, Giants take Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, and then get the quarterback at the top of the second round, right?
Yeah.
Go that route.
Right.
What's to stop Cleveland from doing that and signing Kirk Cousins?
That's true.
Nothing. And by the way, Stefanski's, I think I read this today, he's taking back over play calling duty.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and he became a head coach by calling plays for Kirk Cousins.
Right. I am very curious. I apologize. You know, we've all talked about how we think this will play out at number three. We've never gotten the opinion, though, of Fake Sean. Fake Sean, what do you think ends up happening with the Giants at number three?
Joe Shane, the greatest general manager in the history of New York sports. They understand that they need to draft a quarterback. And I bring you back to last year on Hard Knocks. Brian Daboll was able to identify Jaden Daniels. So even though Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward won't be there, I don't know all the rhymes here, but they could get Jackson Dart. They could get Jalen Milrow. They could get Quinn Ewers. The Giants are going to get a quarterback. And as the Eagles find out here, you can't win a Super Bowl with a running back. We'll all know the Giants will win a Super Bowl with their new starting quarterback.
Which is true. They could draft a quarterback at three, even though Ward and Shedeur are gone.
How did you just transition out of that? How and why are you good at that?
Dude, well, Sean, you didn't. Did you listen yesterday?
Barely, dude. Barely.
I know you were under the weather.
Yeah.
But the Cinco de Fivo was unbelievable.
Oh, I did get
absolutely
the Cinco.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, Tommy interacted with Fake Sean. And I got to tell you, I know this radio show has a lot of characters. I think Fake Sean's here to stay.
So as
I got to be honest with you.
I could answer that easily.
The Rangers are, they got another point last night. Aaron Shishkirkin.
As the only child on the show, when you're an only child, you talk to yourself a lot. So I've had conversations with myself since I was a little kid, so I can go in and out of character.
Imaginary friends.
Imaginary friends. You just
see the magic dragon, the Hanali.
So you learn how to talk to yourself.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Tony's in Deer Park. How are you, Tony?
What's up, fellas?
Yo, man.
I'm telling you, I'm a little stuck with this whole draft of the Giants because what if they're not crazy about Shador? I don't think Cam's going to be there. I think Cam's going to go first. But what if Abel and Shane are just not – are they going to take them just because their jobs are on the line, you need that quarterback? Or do you just take – do you take the generational talent in Hunter and – maybe get a quarterback.
Yeah, but Tony, unless Shador's forcing his way to you, the decision's going to be made for you. Because if both quarterbacks are gone, Travis Hunter. Mm-hmm. If Travis Hunter's gone, then yes, I agree with you. I would be stunned. Like, I'll walk you through this mini Trav board. I'd be stunned if a quarterback named Cam Ward, Shador Sanders drop past the Giants. Like, for example, Cleveland decides, you know what? We're taking Travis Hunter after Tennessee takes Cam Ward.
Right.
I don't think the Giants would say, oh, we're going to take Abdul Carter. I think they would absolutely at that point take a quarterback. So I think being at three is kind of odd. Like, the decision in a way will be made for them, mm-hmm. whether it's quarterback versus Travis Hunter.
No, I think you're right about it. And it's a good position to be in, to be honest with you, because it takes it out of your hands.
Yeah, it puts it on somebody else.
It puts it on somebody else, and there are other quarterbacks in this draft that you can get maybe later. You might have to move back into the first round to do so, but the Giants are in position to actually do that. But you can go get a guy who is a good NFL quality player, maybe not a superstar all pro, but someone who you can win with. You can get that in the second round.
Sure. Earlier today, Sean Morash called this guy out individually, so it's only fair he gets a chance to respond. That's Ozzie and Woodridge.
Ozzie.
Who took he took shrapnel from Sean Morash upon his return. How are you, Ozzie?
I'm well. I'm simpatico with Sean, and I'm not doing that in an attempt to disarm him, but I agree. The definition of insanity is repeating the same behavior over and over and expecting a different result. Another spineless tomato can that he can control like a puppet.
Yeah.
Period. Stop.
No, you're right. That's basically what Jerry Jones is doing with the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. He won because Deion would have been the guy.
Who do you want, Ozzy?
Who do I want?
Yeah, who would you want as your head coach? Because Evan brought up bringing back Mike McCarthy. Because, I mean, they could, in theory, do that. But who do you want?
Very good question, Tiki. Jerry Jones, first off and foremost, he's the Joe Biden of NFL owners. The guy has lost his marbles. He's totally gone.
Okay.
But what I want, because of that, I want his son to start taking over the reins. His son, who made smart decisions like drafting Zach Martin and really probably has a better grasp on what wins in the NFL. What I need as a Cowboy organization, I need, and we've been repeating it over and over, a leader of men, a hard blank, who's going to hold everyone accountable. And I don't know if Jerry Jones, who needs to be in front of a microphone every day, is going to be willing to do that, to hire a coach who has a spine and is going to hold everyone accountable.
You're right.
Right, because that's going to include holding Jerry accountable.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it would have been, honestly, Oz, it would have been Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn played in Dallas. Aaron Glenn had a history there. Aaron Glenn would have been a great candidate for that job.
Yes. Speaking of Aaron Glenn, because I'm benevolent, even though I have my own problems, a note and a message to Aaron Glenn. I hope I'm not too late with this, but Aaron Glenn, do not let Joe B get your cell phone number.
I knew that was coming. I know.
That's solid advice, Ozzy.
Yes, yes.
Solid advice.
Thank you. That's my bad.
Yes. Evan?
Yes.
I know what you should do with the beard.
Oh, yeah. What should I do with the beard hairs? Because I haven't done anything with it yet, and Pete is still unsigned, so maybe my beard hairs can bring some magic. What's your idea?
Dirty Dancing, what baby wants, baby gets. Juan Soto is baby. By a miracle and a coincidence of God, you are going to be in Citi Field this Saturday in January, when nobody is normally in Citi Field in January. Right. You need to take that beard hair.
You need to find your way into the Juan Soto suite, and you need to spread that beard hair into the suite like pixie dust. We need Juan Soto, baby, to think of Pete Alonso like Patrick Swayze. Rest in peace.
All right. Thank you, Ozzy. It's a wonderful idea. Now, one thing that needs to be addressed, because I've got eyes everywhere, okay? Eyes are everywhere. I have been accused.
Yeah.
My beard has been accused. Remember I brought the beard hairs in on Friday?
How could we forget?
As a way to kind of change the mojo with Pete. Of course, that's the beard I shaved. I grew my beard out for a very long time until Pete got an extension. He didn't get an extension. I tried to turn the Mets season around. I shaved the beard. I saved the beard. People are accusing the beard of getting Sean Morash sick.
It's on the table. I was a perfectly healthy, chiseled, fit human being.
That's debatable.
And within 48 to 72 hours of that beard hair follicle floating around my nostrils, I was knocked down off my feet with the flu.
Right. So what take out that perfectly fit, everything else except for human being.
Yeah.
So you were a human being.
Yes.
And then you got in the proximity.
So you really think the beard that you weren't even in the same room for, Tiki was closer to it. He didn't get sick.
And I'm healthier now than I was. Tracy's been sick for 2 weeks, and I'm healthier than anybody.
That's right. The beard actually gave Tiki super health.
I got immunity.
Yeah.
Maybe it's one of those things you were so close you got immune, and I got, like, the bad follicles from a distance, and that's went through me. Either way, it's definitely on the table to blame.
Let's go to Gabe in Wayne, New Jersey. How you doing today, Gabe?
Hey, guys, doing well. Thanks so much for taking the call.
No problem. What's up?
I just want to talk about Pete and the potential signing over by the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
I'm a big Yankees fan, so believe me when I say this, I want Vladimir Guerrero Jr. off the Blue Jays first and foremost.
Sure.
But I don't think it's going to happen. And I'm not looking forward to 2026. I'm looking at right now. You know, at the same time that they're engaged with discussions with Pete, and that's advancing, they're also talking to Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I will say that the three players, Guerrero, Alonso, and Santander, have in common, they are Yankee assassins. The Blue Jays are a team that has money to throw. They haven't been able to convince anybody to take it.
Yeah.
So if you're going to convince anybody, look at guys that are able to beat up on the AL East. Because the only way that you're going to be a contender, you got to win your division, or at least you got to be in the top two of your division, and they haven't been that for some time.
That's
a good thought, babe, Gabe.
Well, I think there are two ways to... First of all, there's like five ways to look at this. You've got the Mets losing Pete Alonso. Mm-hmm. Sure, we'll spend a lot of time on that. Then you've got, oh, does this change the Blue Jay thought on Vlad? And then you've got, oh, yeah, the Yankees are in a division with the Toronto Blue Jays, a division in which the Orioles have not gotten better. I think the Red Sox have gotten better, and the Rays are the Rays. The Blue Jays, by adding Anthony Santander and by adding Pete Alonso, they're keeping Vlad to start the year. Bo Bichette has to have a better year than last year. He was a disaster. They are a very formidable team.
Right. Then they mess around and sign Alex Bregman because nobody wants him. And all of a sudden, that infield is like, uh-oh.
Yeah, and even if they don't sign Alex Bregman.
I know, I'm joking with that mostly, but he's still onside.
Right, but signing Santander and Alonso, two guys who, if you combine their home runs last year, hit like 77 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Blue Jays are getting a lot better. So, yes, they become a threat to the Yankees. But the other thing, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is a free agent next year.
Mm-hmm.
The Blue Jays have no interest in trading him this year. If they're signing Santander, if they're signing Alonso, in which, by the way, they're going to give up draft picks for both players they add, they're trying to win now. They're not thinking about the future. That's why Vlad is a lock to start the year on Toronto. And yeah, if hell breaks loose and they're terrible, sure, they may trade players away. But there are better odds the Mets will be terrible than the Blue Jays would be terrible based on the league and division they're in.
Right, and the signing of Pete Alonso, should it happen, and some of these reports it says they're advancing, if those are true, it's a short-term deal.
Right.
It's 3 years. You take a shot this year, if it doesn't work out, you got 2 years of Pete Alonso. Maybe he's part of the early, I don't know, whatever becomes a rebuild or whatever the heck you want to call it. But there's no real risk because the deal is not exorbitant.
Yeah, the only risk.
Year-wise or number-wise.
The only risk, and I know most people laugh at this and they roll their eyes, but it's true because the Mets won't do this very often, is they're giving up draft picks because both guys were offered the qualifying offer. So in giving up a pick for Santander and giving up a pick for Alonso and the international bonus pool money, you're giving up more than just a short-term contract.
Have they had a lot of luck or fortune with their draft picks?
I'd have to do a deep dive on the Vaughn White podcast.
None of them off of
Kelly Gruber.
None of them off the top of your head. So the answer is no.
Right.
If you don't know off the top of the head, it's not like the Orioles.
Well, they drafted Vlad, so that was good.
But that was 7 years ago.
That was a long time ago. Right.
But think about it. I mean, you know the Orioles have had a great farm system.
No, I get it. And look, the Blue Jays are trying to win. They're not prioritizing draft picks after the third round when they tried to add to their team. But we'll see. As of right now, Pete has not signed with the Blue Jays. They have been a team linked to him. There is still a linkage to him. There's thoughts right now, according to Andy Martino. Things are getting hotter between Pete and the Blue Jays, and we shall see.
By the way, I just found out the question I ask about Vlad, what's he get paid? It's not what he gets paid, U.S. dollar or Canadian dollar. It's that the tax rate in Canada is 53.5%.
53.5%.
53.5%.
So let's
it's 37 federally, obviously, in the United States.
Okay.
Depending on which state you play in, it's either Florida, it's none. New York, it's 9, whatever. So
let's do the math on this.
In New York, it's less than what it is in Canada.
And I'll ask my dad to do it as a CPA. How much more would the Blue Jays have to offer Pete Alonso to even match the Mets offer or to significantly beat the Mets offer considering the tax situation?
I bet it's about that $5 million.
Well, then I'm telling you right now, if Alonso ends up accepting basically the same offer from the Blue Jays, he's going to get a lot of "this is on you" from Met fans.
All right.
That's the reality.